court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
It's going to be my favorite time of year, Tommy.
Ho, 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 it's Christmas, little Michael Budd.
That's right. I remember it seemed like when I was younger that it took forever to get between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but now as an adult, it just flies by.
Well, you know what I noticed so much? The buildup to Christmas is what's so great. When the actual day arrives, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I guess
it's like
so.
All the gifts are open, all that hustle and bustle and decorating, and now the day is here, and you're sitting around worn out from being up all night and drinking heavily.
Well,
putting together toys, and now it's all over. But I like the time leading up to it. This is the time I live for right now, right up to Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I like kind of like Christmas Day, too. I mean, usually the thing is I'm really bad at not giving people gifts early. I have a trouble with that. As soon as I buy something for somebody, I just want to give it to them. So it's hard for me to do.
Well, you just wrap it up, give it to them wrapped up, and you don't have to worry about that. Tell them don't open it till Christmas. That's what the tag's supposed to say.
It is what it says, I guess. Well, one thing I always wondered, too, I have a distinct memory of someone dressed as Santa Claus, or maybe it was really Santa Claus, when I was younger, coming into the house at night. I have my suspicions that it may have been you.
We did own our own Santa Claus suit.
So you're neither confirming nor denying this, huh?
Well, let me ask you, are you still floating along on the idea that it may have been real?
I mean, as a child, it seemed pretty daggone real.
Are you still convinced of that? I don't want to burst your bubble, dude.
My bubble got burst long ago. I'm jaded these days.
Do you remember the time that you got out of bed and Rick and I were in the middle of the living room putting together your kitchen for you, and you came stumbling in there rubbing your eyes, and we're like, no, no, get out of here, go back to bed. You turned around crying and went back to bed because we yelled at you.
I do actually vaguely remember that.
You were like about six or something like that, five or six, and we were putting together a damn kitchen that had 1,293 pieces, and you came staggering out of bed.
I can only assume that
we panicked because we thought, oh God, his mom and dad are going to kill us if we ruin Christmas for him.
I guess you and Rick were drinking and were hungover the next day after putting it together like you just said.
Yeah, it seemed like every morning was like that. See, you were our little kid because we didn't have any kids yet. That was before Sydney was born. So yeah, we'd come home and spend the night at Christmas there with you all so that we could see what Christmas was like, because it's always better through a child's eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you all, I mean, that was... You always made my Christmas very great, because it was great when you all came into town and got to see you guys and got to play with all the toys on Christmas Day. So those are fond memories.
Yeah. Sorry to say, yes, that was me peeking in the window in your kitchen.
Yes. When I was a child, he was dressed as Santa Claus. There's nothing. There's no voyeurism going on here. It wasn't recent.
No, it was a while back. Well, the reason we mention this is... our next series of podcasts will be Christmas-themed for the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas.
That's right. We have a Christmas theme going for this month.
So our first one today will be on Scrooge.
That's
right.
The
original predatory lender.
He was.
So we'll start with Scrooge and predatory lending. Our second episode will be...
Are you giving it all away right now?
Shouldn't we give it away? Give people something to look forward to?
I don't know. Maybe they're not supposed to open it until Christmas, like the gift says.
Well, they can't listen to them till we release them.
That's true.
So next Monday, we will release Christmas Spirits.
Ooh.
Which has to do with open container laws and public drunkenness and liquor laws. And we will have a special guest.
We will.
Our very own Taylor Smurl. She's joining us with her many years of bartending experience to help us fill in the gaps on the liquor laws and laws pertaining public drunkenness and stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully regale us with tales of many bar stories.
I wish she was actually going to be here in person with us for this, because I would love to have her mix up some delicious cocktails.
Oh, I know. Well, at least she will be here at Christmas for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
She's got the whole week off and she's going to be here for Christmas.
That's great. She makes some delicious drinks.
Oh, yeah. She is excellent at her craft.
She's a certified mixologist. Is that a term?
That's a term.
Okay, yes.
And then our third episode is going to be the 12 Crazy Laws of Christmas. Which they may not all be about Christmas, but they will be crazy laws.
They will.
So we're going to find what we think are the 12 craziest that are still on the books and people still have to look at.
Exactly.
And then for Christmas week, we will have Santa laws.
That's right. Santa laws.
I didn't say that wrong. Not Santa Claus, Santa laws.
Laws that pertain to what Santa does.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave that open. But that should be, that's a little bit of a mind bender on that one.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, since today's episode is about Scrooge, and since you, as a thespian, have acted in the Scrooge play.
That's true. I do like women.
Why don't you tell us about Ebenezer Scrooge and a little bit about his business practices?
Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug. Well, Mike, it seems that Ebenezer Scrooge would practice his predatory lending by loaning people money from Scrooge and Marley, and then he would expect payment back on short terms at high interest. And when they couldn't pay, the interest would go up, and he also added a little bit more. He often would come around the shop asking for money, and when they couldn't pay and they requested more time, he would up the interest and tell them when they could pay, and then say you owned a meat market, he'd say, give me a couple of those pork chops. Mm. And if you owned the cider stand, he'd want a bottle of cider. So you had to kind of bribe him so you could get an extension, and then he would also jack up what you owed him in interest and penalties. So this goes completely against lending laws.
Absolutely.
So Scrooge was the original one. I had to play that and do that and go around and bum things off of people.
Did so, you?
Yeah.
I like pork chops. I like cider.
Yeah. Well, you go around and you say, yeah, I'll give you some time. You know, and the one guy comes up, Mr. Scrooge, my wife has died. That's no matter to me. Your payment is still due.
Whenever I think of predatory lendings, I always think of like loan sharks. I guess he was kind of like a loan shark.
He was a loan shark.
He didn't threaten to break your leg. He's going to break your bank.
That's right. He was going to put you in the poor farm.
That's right.
That was his goal. Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
I always, whenever I think of Scrooge, I always think of when he talks to Cratchit. Is it Cratchit? Cratchit?
Cratchit.
Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit.
He goes, oh, I guess you'll be expecting Christmas Day off as well, Cratchit.
Yes, sir, I will.
Or so he's like, would you like, I guess you'll be wanting another lump of coal for your heater or something like that. Isn't that one of the lines too or something?
Well, now I don't think that's actually in there, but there are several different versions. So It depends on which version. There's one where he comes in and he tells him not to put any more coal on the fire or something like that because he's wasting it.
I've actually had a couple of different bosses, and whenever they've come to my office, I ask them for an extra lump of coal to heat my office because I'm kind of poking fun that they're very, very tight. Like, hey, boss, can I have another lump of coal for my heater?
Mary says that to me, too, at home, because she doesn't understand how cooling and heating systems work. So, you know, if the house isn't heating up fast enough for her, then you just turn up the heat more.
That's right.
Right? I mean, even though you got it set at 71 and it's at 68, don't wait for it to reach 71. Turn it up to 76.
Well, I will tell you, the heat. For whatever reason, the heater has been broken at my office this past like week and a half.
I'd complain to my landlord.
Well, I have, but his heater's broken downstairs too. Whoever's supposed to be fixing it just hasn't come to fix it.
So do you work for Scrooge?
I don't know. I should. That's what I need to do. I need to ask him for another lump of coal.
That's right.
I would.
Better they should die and decrease the surplus population.
I've actually been able to heat my office quite nicely now because now I have two electric space heaters in my office and it was warm and toasty in there the past few days.
Yeah, but those are fire hazards.
Well, I just run them when I'm in there, and they heat it up pretty quick. So.
Yeah, make sure you don't leave them running. That's how most of the fires around here, you see these trailers going up in flames and everything, and it's because of space heaters.
Ooh, scary. But aren't those like the kerosene ones?
Sometimes, but the electric ones can do it too if you have curtains near them or Christmas decorations or whatever else.
I have one tucked underneath my desk nice and tight because it kind of heats up underneath the desk and keeps my toes and legs warm.
Well, it might set the wood on your desk on fire. You got to be careful with those things.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, you better.
Well, this podcast is not about HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
It's about predatory lending, and it is sponsored by Jake Dickerson today with his beers. Right.
It is. I'm enjoying a Purple Monkey dishwasher chocolate peanut butter porter.
Yeah, we both went for that first, the chocolate peanut butter porter. We couldn't pass that up. Purple Monkey dishwasher. That sounds like a name that the guy that owns this craft beer place must have had like a kid and said, what do you want to name this? And his four-year-old said, Purple Monkey Dishwasher. Okay, we'll name it that. They did, but it's great.
Yeah, it's my evil genius beer company. I think Jake said it was one of his favorites. So,
well, that's good. And then we got the Spider Bite.
Yeah, we'll tap
Russian
into,
Imperial Stout.
We'll tap
Imperial
into that.
Russian Stout.
Tap into that here in a minute. But yeah, thanks, Jake. You're sponsoring our podcast today.
Thanks, Jake. You're keeping our tongues loose.
That's right. Our tongues loose and our minds crisp.
Thanks for sponsoring our tongues, Jake.
Alrighty. So with predatory lending, like I said, I always think about loan sharks. And the one phrase I always think about whenever you're talking about loan shark is the juice is running. You ever heard that phrase before?
TV? That was when he played for the Bills.
When he's going through the airport.
That was when he was still a good guy.
No, but have you ever heard that phrase before, the juice?
I can't say I've heard that.
Really? Never seen that on TV or movies?
No.
That's like when somebody borrows money from a loan shark, that's fine, I'll give you the 20 grand, but the juice is running starting today.
Is that the interest? The clock is ticking?
Yeah, it's like the interest. I also heard it called like the VIG. You ever heard
the
it called
VIG?
Yeah, the VIG.
Heard that?
Movies or anything like that?
No.
Like VIG? Mm-hmm. It comes from a Russian word for winnings, and it stands for vigorish.
Huh. I've heard of Vigoro.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing. It's from the same. Well, it's probably you have some joke coming here.
That's an opera, opera thing. Vigoro, Vigoro, Vigoro. Yeah.
I walk straight into that one.
Something more than I do. I don't even know what that means. I've just heard them opera guys sing that.
Well, anyway, I've heard those terms before in movies and things like that. So like Vig or the juice and things like that. And I always think about that
vinegar. Is that what it is?
No, not vinegar.
Oh.
So, but predatory lending can come in lots of forms. It's not necessarily just some sort of loan shark on the street who's going to break your arms if you don't pay it back.
Actually, Sopranos.
A lot of times it comes in what you would think would be very safe methods of borrowing money. It could be from like mortgages. Sometimes you see these payday loan companies, car title loans. Sometimes even credit cards with cash advances can have these different kinds of almost predatory aspects to them.
So we should be aware when reaching out for help.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you don't get money for free, so to speak.
No, I wish it was. You know how many bank tellers say that the thing that they hate hearing the most is, are you giving out free samples today?
Really?
Yeah. I worked at a bank for about 3 years and that's a common thing. People come in all the time. They think they're being real cute. Are you giving out free samples today?
That's probably the same thing. Like if you're getting your blood drawn by some blood tech and you ask them if they're a vampire or something like that.
We had a thread on that. Do you remember that?
Did we?
There was a thread on, I don't know if it was on our page or the Still Buffering page, but there was one, pet peeves about things you hear all the time at work.
Oh, that was on the Still Buffering page.
Yeah, that's what one guy said is that, I can't remember who it was. Now it's been too long ago, but that's what he said. He said, yeah, they called me a vampire.
Yeah, I'm almost that way with lawyer jokes, because I feel like I've heard most of them at this point.
If not, I've tried to tell them to you.
You have, and they've been actually second and third retellings of them, I think. But I've been gracious and laughed at them nonetheless. But no, yeah, lawyer jokes, I guess that's probably my industry's thing. But some lawyers really like lawyer jokes, and they tell lawyer jokes a lot. So I don't know.
Hey, that's the best way. You might as well be in on the joke. There's no sense getting upset about it.
Oh, I agree. Just that's the way to diffuse it. Just jump right in there with them.
That's right. Laugh at yourself. If we can't laugh at ourselves, what are we here for?
Well, generally when you loan somebody money, or when a bank loans somebody money or you get these different things, there's going to be some sort of interest rate for this. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, if you're ever going to borrow money, you always got to pay attention to is the interest rate.
All right.
So these payday loan companies, and you've seen those around different places, they're legal in different states, not legal in some states. They are notorious for charging exorbitant amounts of interest. Payday loans, they can actually charge you interest rates if you put it out for an APR of 400%.
Yeah, I saw one here where there's a couple of people that teamed up together to take on in South Dakota. They were in South Dakota, and that they took it on, and they said that in some cases that when people would miss a payment on their payday lender borrowing, that the term of the loan actually went up 574%.
Wow.
And they end up paying more in fees and interest than what they even borrowed.
That's crazy.
So without even paying back the principal, you already owe more than what you borrowed. That's just ridiculous.
No, it's not fair. But states have these things called usury laws. And usury is a general, it's defined by Black's Law Dictionary. And Black's Law Dictionary is a dictionary that attorneys use or people use to define legal terms. And
so normal people can, not just lawyers, huh?
Normal people can use Black's Law Dictionary as well, but I think It's probably used mostly by lawyers or attorneys or people in the legal field.
But like somebody like me that's a normal person?
You could absolutely use it.
I'm just glad to know I'm normal.
Yeah, let's not go crazy here.
I thought I led you into that line of questioning. I thought I established that as a witness.
You did. You laid the foundation. It was nice. It was a very nice predicate.
Thank you. The defense rests.
So historically, the term usury meant lending of money with interest. Today, that has kind of changed, and the actual term usury means charging an illegal interest rate. And if something is usurious, that means it's an illegally high rate of interest. So, and this varies from state by state. So each state has kind of a different top cap as to what the actual annual percentage rate can be for a loan. And one interesting thing is that when you hear about these payday loan things that charge this crazy fees and whatnot, how are they getting around these usury laws? And how are they going to charge such great interest?
How do they? Why is that going on? Why don't they have those things in place? I mean, why should there need to be new legislation passed to protect people about that?
Well, I think a lot of times these companies, they probably have lobbyists in their pocket who go and try to get these different laws passed to allow legislation to get around this. One such thing, when I was researching this, and because in Florida, they're allowed to have these payday loan companies. But Florida also has a usury law, which caps the APR for what loans can be. And there's a website called lendingkarma.com, and it has a list of all the different usury limits for each state. And there's a bunch of different things on there about that. And I went there and checked out the different interest rates for each state. But Florida has a cap on their interest rate, and they still have these payday loans. And so I was kind of wondering how that got around that, because I didn't really know. And I researched that, and I read a Florida Attorney General opinion. It's AGO 2026. And what those are, basically, if there is a question about law, then an attorney or someone can write in to the Attorney General and present them with a question as to whether or not something's legal or not. And then if the Attorney General deems it worthy, they will write an opinion and answer that. And it can be used as kind of an argument if it ever comes up for any kind of court case or anything like that. I mean, it's not binding precedent, but it's kind of advisory type thing, because it's basically an advisory opinion.
Now, is that just Florida?
That's just Florida. Okay. Other states have things like that too. I mainly practice in Florida predominantly, so that's why I'm very familiar with Florida. I even have an AGO opinion where I wrote in one time. So,
well,
yeah.
Well,
they answered me. It was about mosquito control. It was kind of
Well, you must have felt very important.
I felt very honored that I think it was Charlie Crist that wrote me back and gave me an advisory opinion about
Charlie Crist himself.
Yeah, about mosquito nuisance abatement.
Well, you know that mosquitoes are kind of related to lawyers. They both suck.
You made that one up.
Right on the spot.
You made that one up, didn't you?
Right on the spot.
So, this AGO 2026, where the question that probably means it was written in 2000, I'm assuming, based on that number. So this opinion basically said that, yes, the usury laws do apply to these payday loan companies. However, if the payday loan company was registered under Chapter 560, which is called the Check Cashing and Foreign Currency Exchange Act, then they were not subject to the usury laws. So there was actually a specific law which gave them
a loophole,
which gave them an exemption. And so,
damn, I hate loopholes.
What they are saying is that these payday loan companies were actually not charging interest. What they were doing is they were charging you a service fee for advancing you that money.
A big ass service fee.
Yeah, a big ass service fee. And then but it was allowed under that. And there are, I think it was something like 26 states that have laws like this on the books, which kind of allow these different payday loan type companies to charge it's not interest because it's technically not under this loophole, but really it's interest. It's you're paying interest on the money you're getting.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that they're preying on the most vulnerable when they do that. And they do have a big lobby. When this group went to war about that in South Dakota, they were saying they had to fight multi-million dollar lobbyists that were lobbying for them to be able to go ahead and do that. But they prey on the most vulnerable, and that's really grinds my gears.
It does.
Quote me from before, you have the ones that are preying on people that are getting by paycheck to paycheck, and something comes up, the heater goes out in their car or in their house or something like that. You know, something comes up with your kid or a medical bill or something, you don't have insurance, something along those lines, and you get behind. So you're desperate and you go and you borrow from these people. Those are the kind of people that you want to take advantage of. People that are barely getting by. Another group that they take advantage of is the elderly.
Yeah.
They take advantage of the elderly on fixed incomes, and they take advantage of them. Servicemen. A lot of times they have these places all popped up around the bases and things like that where they're soldiers, because they know that they're going to be in situations where they may need more money. They're away from their families. Something comes up, their family needs money, they're going to do whatever they can, so they go to these places and do it. You know, and then you have the colleges. You have people on the college campuses saying, we'll give you a free T-shirt or free Frisbee or some damn thing like that. And then they're going to give you a credit card. Well, what you don't know is there's fees involved with the credit card. Maybe you have to charge a certain amount, and it tells you that. But who reads that? You're drinking, and you're at the first football game of the season, and they're signing you up for a credit card. Next thing you know, you owe them $1,000.
And I really want that Frisbee. Yeah, I really want that bad. I want that Frisbee.
It has the school logo on it and everything.
Yeah.
How could you pass that deal up? But, to prey on those kind of people, that's what they're aimed at. That's just terrible. I mean, you know, if you've got the money, you're going to go to a bank or something like that and get a legit loan. These are preying on people that are in desperate times.
Yeah, and once you get behind, then you're never going to get caught up. Because essentially you're paying this, you didn't have money to begin with, so then you're paying this extra money, all this exorbitant fees or interest rates, whatever, to pay this. So then you're going to be behind again. So you slip farther and farther behind. So that's one of the things too.
It just ain't right.
It's not right. But at least, you know, there is.
You ain't seen bad, but it's coming.
What is that from?
That was Patrick Swayze in Next of Kin.
Oh yeah. That's a
great. You ain't seen bad yet, but it's coming.
That's a great movie. Kind of reminds me of our family a little bit. To a certain degree.
A little bit, yeah.
I was hoping you were going to say Roadhouse, because that's probably my favorite.
Roadhouse is a good one, but this was Next to Kid.
I actually got a really good Roadhouse quote in one time. I think I was at the dentist, and they were doing something, and he's like, oh, I forgot to numb your numb something for you. And it didn't hurt. And he's like, that's got to hurt a lot. And I uttered the classic Patrick Swayze line, pain don't hurt. I felt like I was such a stud at that point.
Well, you are, Michael. I'll vouch for you.
Thanks, Tommy. I appreciate it.
I've got to say, in Roadhouse, I relate more to the Sam Elliott character than I do to the Patrick Swayze character in that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty awesome in that.
Yeah, I'd have to go along with that.
You're the bouncer. I'm the cooler. I'll tell you when it gets out of hand. I'm going to have to watch Roadhouse tonight. But to give you an example of these different payday loans, a typical two-week payday loan with a $15 per $100 fee, that equates to an APR of 400%, which is way, 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 way over what any usury law in a state would be. Usually these usury law, I mean, they vary quite a bit, but usually 18, 20% is probably the cap as to what the usury law is for these loans. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lot.
And these people have no other choice. Why can't they just make a decent profit on it and do that and serve the actual purpose that they claim that they're doing instead of, just trying to gouge people? I don't understand.
Well, I can probably foresee their argument. What it would be is that they are making risky loans to people, mm-hmm. and they probably don't recover on quite a few of them. So they charge this higher amount to offset their losses. I'm sure that's the argument they make, or at least one of them. But
well, that's true. But I don't know. And you don't know if you're desperate, you're going to do whatever it takes. And if they're there and that solves your immediate problem, you're going to do it, and you try to deal with it later.
Yeah.
Whatever the consequences are, but it's a terrible thing that it brings about.
Well, and a lot of people, would say caveat emptor, which, you know what that means?
Let the buyer beware.
That's right.
I took Latin, remember? Gallia est in Europa?
Oh, yeah. Something about a pretty lady or
no, that was
dinner.
That means France is in Europe.
Oh, France is in Europe? Oh, Gallia. Oh, yeah.
Didn't you not know France is in Europe?
I did not know that. Didn't we tell you where Uranus is?
It's in this chair.
But yeah, that's the Latin doctrine, which basically says let the buyer beware, which there's a lot of protections for that this day, but there's still some people that kind of follow that line of reasoning.
Habeas corpus.
That's right.
Learned that one, didn't we?
Bring me the body.
Bring me the body and let you beware.
So many great Latin terms. So, well, there's other kinds of predatory lendings too. Payday loans is just one of them. Sorry to any payday loan operators out there who might be listening to our podcast.
But you deserve it if you're involved in that.
We just put you on blast.
And all those that work for them, rise up. Say, hell no, we won't go. We won't do that anymore. We won't do that. We've got to shut this down. It's an evil empire. Say,
please, may I have a lump of coal for my heater in the back of my payday loan office?
No, you may not. We want to shut you down. It's terrible. Get legitimate or get out.
Some of the other things are car title loans, where people will loan you money, or these companies will loan you money based on your car title. Let's use that as collateral.
All right. Now tell me this. This is fresh in my mind because these ads have just started running here locally. And it's not that I haven't seen these before, but this is a fresh round of ads that I've seen. And Mary and I were discussing it the other night. Here are two attractive women dressed in tight skirts or tight dresses, short dresses. And they're talking about coming in and your title loan max or something like that, and bring in your title and we'll give you top dollar on it and all this kind of stuff. Who is that appealing to?
Me?
Well, I think you're old enough and financially secure enough. You're not going to fall for that. But there's a lot of guys that are thinking, oh, I'm going to go in and talk to those two girls about getting some money for my car. You got to know that their main purpose is to take your car. They don't want to. They're going to lend you money, but their purpose is to end up taking your car.
What is it? Old enough to know better, but still too young to care, or something like that?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, you look at this, and here's these two women doing this loan, and you know what they're trying to appeal to. The ones, they're going for your pink slips in a different way than in Greece. It's not like in Greece where they race you for it. There's a different grease they're using there to go for your pink slips.
They're using their feminine wiles on you.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not talking to you about interest rates and different things like that. Usury laws.
Oh, they're using you.
Yeah, they're using you. But
is it feminine wiles or feminine wilds?
I always thought it was wiles.
Maybe you're right. There are some are femininely wild.
It's true.
And some are wily, like Wile E. Coyote.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so you got some of each, huh?
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the intent. Is that they're securing this loan with your car, and hopefully...
They're going to get your car.
They're going to get your car. Because what would be better? They loan you $100, secure your car, you don't pay it back, they take your car. They made a huge profit.
You know, the only business like that I can say...
Is show business? Because there ain't no business.
There's no business like show business. There's no business I know.
That's true.
I was in that show.
I'm sure you were.
I was Buffalo Bill.
Oh, was that Annie Get Your Gun?
Yeah.
No.
Mary was Annie Oakley.
Yeah. I've actually never seen that. I didn't get to see that play.
You didn't see that. We've got it on video. You'll have to watch it some night.
Well, maybe we should.
She was excellent in it.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
She was perfect.
Mary is yes.
Very talented lady.
She is.
But anyway, no, that's not what I was going to say. Not show business. What were we talking about? Hell, you threw me off.
I distracted you for once.
Yeah.
We were talking about, I don't know, we have to go back to the tape.
The business I was talking about was pawn shops. Pawn shops are pretty much right up front with you. I mean, you go in, they give you the money for the object you're going to give them, and you know how long you've got to go back and buy it back from them, and you know what it's going to cost you. And if you don't reach that, they can sell it.
Yeah.
In the interim. And if you do come up with the money that they told you, you go back in and buy it. But it doesn't jack up. You don't pay fees or whatever. So in a way, a pawn shop, yeah, they're kind of like a lending company, but they don't take advantage of you. You kind of know right up front what's going on with it. And they've got your asset, whatever it is you sold them, so they're not going to gouge you for more than that. So I don't know. I mean, if I'm desperate, I'm going to a pawn shop and doing that. I mean, my only thing with pawn shops, I'm not saying that they're all legitimate businesses because they buy a bunch of stolen crap. So, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that's...
That's where every drug user around here that breaks in your house and steals stuff, they run to the pawn shop to sell it.
They do.
And, I mean, the pawn shop should take more responsibility. So they're not like they're fine, upstanding citizens, but at least they're not taking advantage of the people that come there and sell the stuff. If you are legitimately having trouble in selling stuff off, you know, you got your PlayStation sitting around and you got to get your car fixed. So you sell your PlayStation to get your car fixed. That's a good adult decision, but you don't lose your ass over it.
I'll tell you, I've had some old electronics and things like that I just didn't want. And rather than try to put them on Craigslist and do all that, I've just taken them to a pawn shop and said, hey, you know, I just want to get rid of this. And just... Not really like needed money or anything like that. Just kind of cleaning out and, you know, why not have extra money?
Sure.
And they don't want to give you anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is a chart. They'll give you nothing for it to the point where I was like, I would rather take this and throw it away than give you this for that price, for that amount of money.
Well, we did that with a music store in town.
Did you?
Yeah. When Riley was 1 year, had to play the, what was it? Like the flute or something like that. That she had to play. Everybody had to play a band instrument. So she got a flute, and we had paid for it there. So supposedly this place would buy it back from you. Mm-hmm. But when we went to sell it back at the end of the year when she didn't need it anymore, they said, we have enough flutes. We don't need yours. You know, if you want to give it to us for, we'll give you $10. And we bought it for like $150 or something. We'll give you $10 for it. So they were kind of running a scam. We said, hell with it. We'll put it in the closet. Let it sit in the closet rather than give it to you for $10.
Was that company maybe a company that rhymed with something called Jack and Misbehave?
Yep, pretty much. It just went out of business here recently. That was the one.
I kind of figured.
Yeah, unless you're local, you won't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what that reminds me of? And I didn't even think about predatory lending them in this aspect until we just started talking about this. Bookstores at colleges.
Oh, God, that's a racket. But you know what's so terrible? There's digital. It should all be digital. Yeah. There should not be books anymore in colleges or high school or anything. Boy, that grinds my gears. That one grinds my gears. That's two grind my gears in one episode.
And you're talking about if they're taking advantage of people who don't have extra money, college students.
I went to my child's middle school principal, and they were in a, she was in a smaller private school at the time. And I said, our company will host all your textbooks. We will scan them, and we will host them, and anybody, we will give everybody access to them. So they don't have to carry textbooks around. They don't have to bring them home for homework. Mm-hmm. They can access them on the internet. No, that wouldn't be a good idea. And I said, we'd do it for free. No, no, we're not going to do that. And I couldn't believe that. All textbooks should be online. Kids carrying around these backpacks that weigh 50 pounds. Oh, man. It's just ridiculous. There is no reason for that. Carry an iPad and everything can be come up on the iPad.
I agree. Although I do think it takes a bit of learning to be able to read off of an iPad as opposed to like an actual book. Because I know it's hard for me to sit and read. And it's something I had to really work at to be able to read off a monitor as opposed to actually having a paper book in my hand. And that was, I think I'm probably the last part of a generation that has trouble doing that because I grew up with like, you know.
Well, I agree with you. And I mean, I'm really on the back edge of computer use. I mean.
I can agree. Yes. You are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just barely there. You know, I know how to email and I kind of know what Facebook, but I can only do a couple things on there.
You know how to put a picture on Facebook now.
Well, I do. Yes, kind of. I wouldn't make a habit of it. But what I'm saying is kids nowadays, they don't have any problem with it. I remember when Taylor was still at home and something came up on one of the computers. And I said, Taylor, is there something we can do about this? She gets on the computer and she clicks around with a couple keys and she found something. I don't even know what it was, but she found something that solved the problem. Put up. I said, how'd you know that was there? She said, I didn't. And I said, well, how did you find it? Well, where else would it be?
Yeah, it's just intuitive.
Yeah, because that's the way the young people that have come up with computers, that's the way they think. These things are automatic to them. This is where you'd go to do that. In my experience, it might as well have been another language. You know, it wasn't any way I was going to figure anything out. There was nothing that I'd look at to say, oh, it's probably in this. You know, they're all the same. You know, it didn't make any difference. Well, Michael, do you know what time it is now?
I don't. What time is it, Tommy?
It's time to pay court costs.
Oh, who are we calling to the stand today?
Well, it's a fellow podcast. Yegaday. Yegaday, the podcast, would like to take the stand, your honors, counselors, jury, and others. Yegaday, the podcast, is where Tim and Leon explain the world through the eyes of two Australians in their mid-20s. They're two Australians in their mid-20s is the way that reads.
Okay.
If you have ever wondered what they really do down there, now is your chance to find out. No shrimp on the Barbie here. Just lots of chicken-induced podcasting.
I thought they called chicken chuck in Australia.
I have no idea what they call it, but if you listen to their podcast, you may find out.
Well, don't be a chook. Listen to their podcast.
And listen to it on SoundCloud at www.soundcloud.com/Yegaday and iTunes. And they are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under @Yegaday Podcast. The only crime they have committed is not finding their long-lost Prime Minister, Harold Holt. They now ask, may they be excused?
I think they can leave the witness stand now.
You may be excused.
You may be excused, sirs. If you would like to take the stand at court appointed, send us an email at courtappointedpodcast@gmail.com, message us on Twitter, or send us a message on Facebook or post on the Facebook Court Appointed page, and we'll tell you how to file the proper motion or paperwork to take the stand.
And I'd say, yigday.
To get back to usury laws, I forgot to touch on this one thing. These states that have these different usury laws, so if you actually break these usury laws and are sued for breaking them by the person who you lent the money to, then they can actually collect their attorney's fees and sometimes get like treble damages, like triple damages against you for lending them that money. So there's actually, you could if you were super unscrupulous, you could go to somebody who is kind of wealthy and say, hey, will you lend me some money? And they say, well, I don't know. It's like, well, how about this? How about you can charge me 100% interest on this and I have to pay it back within a year. Let me draw up the contract, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so they draw it up, they sign it, and then they loan you the money. Then you turn around and you sue them because they made you a unscrupulous loan, and you can actually get damages against them for that.
I would have to hope that somewhere in there, if you were the one that prompted it, that hopefully the courts would see otherwise, that, well, it was a scam.
You could also possibly plead as an affirmative defense, unclean hands, if that was the case. That's an affirmative defense.
Unclean hands.
Yeah, unclean hands.
What does that mean?
That basically means that you came into this with dirty hands. Like you should not be allowed to recover for this damage because you are at fault.
You were part of it.
You were at fault yourself.
Yeah. Okay, I can understand that.
I usually would like to plead that as an affirmative defense, even if it wasn't like that. I just like writing that as an affirmative defense. I plead unclean hands, Your Honor.
I always hate that when I see people that go to the bathroom and then leave the bathroom and don't wash their hands. That's what I think they should plead is unclean hands.
That I would plead that as unclean hands as well.
I run out in the store real quick and see what they touch because I want to make sure I don't go near any of those things.
Well, if they're employees, they have to wash their hands because there's a sign that says that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I'm not talking about employees.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know where they're going with that. You know, one that kind of parallels that. I found this article that was talking about a lawsuit that was filed against Immigrants Bank in New York City. And that Immigrants Bank had a loan, predatory mortgage loan practice, where they were loaning money to minorities, mostly African Americans and Hispanics, and they were targeting ones that had good equity in their homes. And then they would loan them money based on this equity. So say like, you know, you refinance your house, basically. You get $10,000 out. Well, that might be a big money to those people to get $10,000 out of it.
Yeah.
So the banks would take that. Then if you were late on one payment, it would jack your interest rate up to like 18%, whereas a normal loan is like 3 or 4% on a mortgage loan. And it would go up to like 18%, and suddenly they couldn't afford their payments.
Yeah, 18% on a house loan is huge. That's lots of money.
So they can't afford their payment. So then the bank forecloses on their houses and gets their houses. And it was a predatory lending. And what was even more outrageous to me when I read it, their program was called Star Nina. And the Nina stood for no income, no assets. So they were identifying people that they felt would default on the loans and loaning them the money so that they could then get their houses. The only thing they were looking at is did they have good equity in the house? Because that way they weren't, you know, they didn't have that much of an investment in it.
Well, that's definitely predatory lending.
Yeah. And they came out, and it's one of the few cases along these lines where still now, of course, the bank's going to appeal it, but it was Immigrants Bank. And they found in their favor, and each one of these people that were involved as a class action suit are supposed to get like $950,000.
Whoa.
From the bank for these findings.
That's like a huge class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because honestly, whenever you're part of a class action, usually you get nothing. It's like, yeah, here's $2.15. Here's $3.50.
Right. But this 32% of the loans made under this program went into default.
32%?
32%.
That's a pretty high amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and that doesn't count the ones that are still struggling to make the payments that went up on it. I mean, that's 32%. That's one third of them that failed, and two third are still struggling to make the payments to keep their homesteads.
You know, in a lot of these different banks and things like this, they actually take out insurance on these loans as well. So basically, they take out insurance on these loans, and so if the loan defaults, their insurance actually pays them back for it as well.
So they get the $10,000 maybe that the person say they refinanced their loan and got $10,000 cash out. They get the bank gets their $10,000 back and they get the person's home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're buying up blocks of land in these areas and they have virtually no investment. So whatever they get out of selling them is all profit.
The other thing with mortgages too is a lot of times you'll see these balloon interest rates. So they'll give you a great introductory APR. and it's actually a payment that you can afford. And then after, say, 24 months or something like that, a huge balloon payment comes due that there's no way you're going to make. And the way they usually sell this to you is they'll say, well, before that happens, we'll go ahead and refinance it for you. This is just to get you into the house, and then we'll refinance it, and we'll keep refinancing it, you know, wherever. Well,
but then when you come in to refinance, oh, sorry, you don't meet the criteria.
Yeah.
Well, looks like we get your house.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the mortgage market, how the mortgage, it popped like a balloon, like a bubble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pop. So that's part of that whole thing. We should do an episode on that. That's
on the mortgage bubble pop.
Yeah, that's a whole bag of worms right there.
And you know, the banks were responsible for this. Now, it came out of the laws that were created under the Clinton administration, that he changed the banking laws to allow these and encourage a lot of minority lending. But the banks took it to an extra level where they were predatory in how they went about this lending.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it too, we started off this show talking about loan sharking. And if you know, what is a bigger predator than a shark? So it's kind of
a whale.
Whales aren't predators.
There's killer whales. They eat sharks, don't they?
They are predators. I saw a video of a killer whale fighting a great white. The killer whale won. Mm. Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, that's all right. I'm glad they won. Now, whoever roots for the shark?
That'd be like a great insult. You seem like the kind of guy that would root for the shark.
Well, you already had the one about jump the shark.
That's true. Wait a second. Jump the shark. You mean Fonzie?
That's where that comes from.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew where it came from, but what are you talking about, jump the shark?
Well, it's like when a TV show has like reached its limit of relevancy.
Oh, yeah. I know what jump the shark is. I thought you were talking
about jump the shark.
Some show in particular where you're rooting for the shark.
No.
Oh.
No, that's a different one. Jump the shark. I was throwing out another term that had to do with sharks. Didn't mean to confuse you, counselor.
Yeah, I'm easily confused. And plus, I've tapped into this Boris the Spider Russian Imperial Stout that Jake Dickerson sent us, and it has kicked in a little bit. It's
a good one.
Oh, it's 10%.
Yeah, it's 10% alcohol.
Yeah, that explains that.
It's no wonder it's so good.
Yeah.
That's what the Kentucky Bourbon Ale is. And by the way, I was complaining about they don't sell that in West Virginia, but they sell it in Ohio. I was in the liquor store last week. Here it is on the shelf here in town, right down by my office. They've got in the liquor store, here's Kentucky Bourbon Ale. And that guy said, yep, we just were able to start selling it last week. And then he tells me we got it on tap and we got growlers. You can get it. You can buy it for $9 a bottle, or you can get a 64-ounce growler for $12. I went for the growler.
That's what I call a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the people at Kentucky Bourbon Ale listened to our podcast and they decided to go ahead and start selling in West Virginia.
They had mercy on us. They knew they had fans here and they went for it.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm glad because we now have growlers of Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We're promoting them. They're scratching our back, we're scratching theirs.
And we need to call them to the witness stand.
Mm-hmm.
They should file a motion.
That would be a good one. Of course, we're advertising for them for free right now. No more free advertising, Kentucky Bourbon Ale. You gotta ante up.
That's right. Well, you heard the my brother and me where they did the Totino's hour, right? Did you hear that one?
No, I didn't hear that. I heard the Hardee's burger, beer burger. They did one with Hardee's. Beer cheese burger or something out at Hardee's.
Well, they did the Totino's one where Totino sponsored them to eat Totino's and talk about it for a whole hour.
We would do that.
Yeah, you hear that, Kentucky Bourbon Ale?
Yeah, we'll drink it.
The court appointed Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
The Kentucky Bourbon Ale court appointed hour. We start out on case, but no telling where we'll end up.
It may only be 45 minutes because that's all we can handle. Well, I think it's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we talk about different terms that we use during the show.
We find out if I've learned anything or if you all have learned anything.
Yeah, and just kind of reinforces the different terms because they might be a little weird. So the first term, let me look at my legal briefs list.
Quit looking at your briefs.
Is Caveat emptor.
Let the buyer beware.
That's right.
It's an Italian term.
Italian term?
It's a Latin term.
A manner of speaking. It's let the buyer beware.
That means if you signed up for it, that's too bad. You should have known going into it.
That's right. Old enough to know better, still too young to care.
That's right. Young, dumb. No, never mind. That's a totally separate one.
We might lose some good rating on that if we can fall through with that.
Young, dumb, and young and dumber.
Yep, that's right. The next term is APR.
APR, annual percentage rate.
That's right. I didn't explain exactly what that meant.
But I knew it already.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you knew what that meant. But for any listeners out
there, I'm a master of finance.
You are a master of finance.
I'm a master of my own domain.
And they look very, very moisturized today. You're a master of fine hands. Is that what you said?
Fine hands, finance.
Oh, you could be a hand model.
I could be a hand model. No, not with my crooked fingers. I've got those. Look at that. I broke my little finger and I set it myself, and now it's off to the side. I got two other fingers that I tore the tendons in and never got them fixed, and now they're hammer fingers, crooked and everything. Someday, I'm going to give my body to science, and the med students will be gathered around and they say, man, this son of a bitch took a beating. I don't know what he did in life, but he took a beating.
Tommy's going to donate his body to science.
That's right. I don't want to give away my organs, but I don't mind donating my body to science.
I don't know. I might donate my body to science fiction.
What if you need your body in the afterlife? What if we're not really just souls floating around like holy sheets or something? What if we're like, you need your body, and then you've given away your parts?
I don't know what to tell you about that. You kind of blew my mind right there. We've gone off script here. We got a broken arrow. Broken arrow.
Broken arrow.
The last term is usury.
Usury is the laws that pertain to what acceptable interest rates are and fees on loans.
Correct. And historically, it was used to mean just basically the lending of money with interest. So if you ever see usury in some sort of historical text, that just basically meant you lent somebody money and you're charging them interest. But now it's come to have like a negative connotation. So
because you're using them.
I don't know if that's exactly where that comes from, but that might be an easy way to remember it.
Be like, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Being right means being without you. I'd rather live a wrongdoing life. Is that kind of like that?
Sure. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl, and I am just a dude.
Thanks for listening.